We have just come out of an amazing church growth revival. It was, to me, one of the best weeks that I've ever had. And I realized I had a little bit of an advantage. I got to spend hours a day with Brother Roy, just one-on-one. And he and I came out here to the church and looked things over and talked. And we talked some more and we discussed issues. And just it was a great week. And the information that he shared with us, folks, was valuable. It can literally change our church. And when Brother Cliff came last year, he set a very solid foundation and gave us a lot of great things to go on. We have implemented a lot of that. We're still working on some of that. And then Brother Roy came in at just the perfect time to really build on the foundation that Brother Cliff set right at a year ago, I guess it was. But I do want to give you a warning. Since we have gone through a great week, Satan will attack. Every time there's a great victory, he sticks his ugly little head up. So be aware of that. Be alert. Look around. If you see something that somebody's doing, make sure you handle it properly. You know, don't be a backstabber. Don't be a gossiper. You know, like I said, there's going to be some opportunity there for something to happen. It may not be a person. It may be something going on. You may say, well, I don't like that, or this needs to be changed, or that needs to be changed. That may be true. But again, let's make sure that we handle it properly and that we don't give Satan the opportunity to use any one of us as a tool after this great victory. Amen. We need to guard our unity more than ever before. We need to pray more than ever before. Like I said, he will attack, but guess what? His attacks cannot harm us in any way if we don't give place to him. So that's exactly what I'm saying. Let's not give place to him. So that's just kind of a forewarning that is coming. In fact, the revival service has ended Wednesday, and since then I've already had three or four attacks, and handled two of them right. The third one I didn't handle so well, but I've gone back and changed that. So that's why I'm telling you, be alert. It's here, okay? But I want this morning to look at what Brother Roy shared with us. And I know he said, where do we go from here? But we're going to literally look at it from a more personal aspect of where do we go from here? He gave us kind of a general outline on what we need to do. And he shared with us a lot of great things to consider. Everything from the appearance of our building outside and inside. And like I said, Brother Roy and I came out here. We walked through the whole church. We looked at the outside of the church and a lot of things we discussed. Our church growth team has already looked at, already considered, already working on. But it was good to get an outsider's perspective to see if we were right on track. He also encouraged us on how to get our members to invite their friends and family. Yeah, he spent quite a bit of time on that. He also spent quite a bit of time on how we need to treat our guests from the moment they drive on the parking lot to the second that they leave. And we do a decent job with that. But he shared some things with us that really got my attention and some things that we're going to be addressing later on that we could do even better. And we're going to definitely look at that. He also talked about the mission of our church and the vision of our church. And folks, we definitely have a mission, and our mission statement is very similar to the one that Brother Roy had on the screen. We have it. It's in some of our documents, but I'm going to get that out and start using it in different places every so often. Have Brenda put it in the bulletin, because we need to know why we're here. And I think we generally know, but we need to know as a team why we're here. And of course, we definitely need to have a vision, and I've preached on vision several times, and I think we have a pretty good vision, but we need to be reminded of what our vision is from time to time. So Brother Roy came in, and he did a great job of really talking about all those things and encouraging us and exhorting us and even getting on our toes some. But the question now is, what are we going to do with the information we received and the inspiration we received? See, Brother Roy's done his job. He came, he shared his heart with us, but he's gone back to Lebanon, Tennessee. So the question is, what are we going to do? Now, let me say this right here. If you were not able to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you need to get a set of the CDs. You need to hear what Brother Roy had to say. He was right on track for our church. But since he's already done our job, then we need to look at our option. Our first option is to simply say, oh, that was a nice service. Brother Roy did a great job. He talked about a lot of great things. And then we never give it another thought. But folks, if we do that, then Brother Roy wasted his time in coming, and we wasted our time in coming to the services too. If we're just going to say, oh, that was nice, and not ever think about it, not ever do anything with it. So that's really not a very good option, but we do have that option. Option B is to analyze it and to see what we can individually and personally glean from it that we got from those services. And if you'll remember, Brother Rory made it very simple. He said, if you can just get one thing out of these services, it'll be worth it. So he wasn't asking us to get 5 or 10 things, but one thing. But we need to analyze it, and we need to pray about it, and we need to ask God, God, what is the one thing that I can do? And really look at that. And then we need to take that one thing that God reveals to us and think about how that you can implement it personally, effectively, and immediately. And then we need to, our fourth option is to take that one thing and to put it into action. Amen. Folks, if we don't analyze it, and if we don't pick out that one thing and implement it and really put it into action, then it's not going to do you any good. It's not going to do the church any good. So we need to really think about it, because if we don't implement options B, C, and D, then nothing's going to change. Again, we had a nice set of meetings, but nothing changed. So we are really at a threshold where we decide how much change we're going to see. And I've heard somebody put it this way, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting different results. Well, folks, it's very obvious if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to continue to get what we've already got. Now, what we've already got is good. Amen? Amen. It's already good. But I firmly believe that the majority of us want to see and believe that Centerpoint can grow. That we can become all that God wants us to become. That we can do the things that God knows that we can do. But for us to do that, we are going to have to make some changes. Again, what we have is very good. In fact, you heard Brother Roy say it numerous times, and I've said it numerous times, that Centerpoint has a lot of great things going for it. We have a lot of potential. We have a great group of people. But our potential is greater than we've reached. So we have to really look at it. Now, going back to the four options, I have already disregarded option A. Just saying that was a nice set of services and letting it go with that, I'm not about to do that, because Brother Roy came, he shared his heart with us. Like I said, I believe that the timing was a God mandate, because it was the perfect timing for where we are. It was just absolutely perfect. So I sat down and I analyzed everything that Brother Roy talked about. I analyzed it from a church perspective. I analyzed it from the different groups that we have in the church, from Masters, Women's Auxiliary, the youth, all of the different groups that we have. I analyzed it from a personal perspective. And I prayed about it and I asked God to show me the one thing. See, I'm trying to do what Brother Roy preached on. I ask God, what is the one thing that I need to focus on and the one thing that our church needs to focus on? And folks, again, we can do one thing, can't we? We're not going to make it complicated. We're not going to make it hard. Looking at one simple thing. And if you remember, again, back when Brother Cliff came, he talked about the majority of the people that come to church for the very first time, around 90% of them come because they were invited by a friend or a family. Brother Rory mentioned that about 90% of the people that come for the first time are invited by a friend or a family. There's very few people that come to a church for any other reason. There's a few, but the percentages are down around 1 to 5%, but 90% come to him because they were invited by a friend or a family member. So to me, it's pretty easy to see where our focus needs to be. Our focus doesn't need to be on all of the programs. Yes, we need the programs so when they get here, we've got it in place to minister to them. Just to kind of give you an idea, I know that since I've been here, three different times we have canvassed the entire Valonia area with door hangers. And I'm not saying that that's not a good thing, but I'm just saying it's not as effective as friends and family members inviting people, because out of canvassing the area three times, I know of somebody that came one time and one time only. That's a lot of work to get one guest. But if we each work and focus on the 90%, the family and friends that we have out there, then we can make this thing work. And I've thought about this a lot, and Brother Rory and I even talked about it. We really make inviting people a lot harder than it is. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask for a show of hands, just, and I'm not wanting to embarrass anybody, and I don't think this will. How many of you in the past 2 or 3 months have I talked about the Smoking Buns restaurant to? Now, there's more than that. Some of you aren't raising your hand. There's at least 10 to 15 people in this church that I've talked to that restaurant about. Why would I be talking about the Smoking Buns restaurant? Because I like it. I went back yesterday. It's a good place to be. And if you don't know where the Smoking Buns is, get with me after church. You can take me. No, I'm kidding. I'll tell you where it is. But I talk about it because I like it. I get excited about the Smoking Buns restaurant. They have really good food. Now, folks, all we have to do to invite people, first of all, is be excited about the Center Point Church. We have a lot of great things going on. One of the things I am so excited about right now is what's happening with our Wednesday night youth program. That's almost doubled in the last 6 months to a year. I praise God for that. I get excited over that. And we've got other great things. Again, the Master's Men, the Women's Auxiliary, our Sunday School, and all these other things that we have going on. We've got a lot to be excited about. That is the number one key to inviting people. If you're excited about it, you're not going to be able to keep from inviting people to our church. And tell them, you know, come take a look. And all you have to do is invite them. Remember when Philip went to Andrew, his brother? His invitation was simple. Come and see. All you have to do is tell him, we're having a great time out of Center Point. Come and see what God's doing. Come and be our guest. It's really that simple. We don't have to do anything any more than that. And if they don't come the first time, that's okay. Folks, we have some people in our church today that I know have received at least 5 or 6 or 7 invitations before they ever came their first time. And guess what? Not everybody's going to come. But if we focus on the 90% that will come, then we're going to have a greater opportunity to get folks here to come. Now, let me share with you my one thing. If we are going to implement this immediately, and how soon is immediately? Today. You know, my dad always said, when the iron's hot, strike. Well, folks, after this last week, the iron is definitely hot. And like I said, if you weren't here, I wish you could have been here and get the CDs, but the iron is hot. Brother Roy has done a great job, and we are going to immediately implement the visitation team program that Brother Rory talked about. Now, don't tune me out on this. Like I said, we're going to make this fun, we're going to make it simple, we're going to make it easy, and it is the key to reaching the folks that we need to help us build our church, and that is the 90%. We're also going to make it very rewarding. Now, here's how it works. And I've got this laid out fairly simple, so You know, if you don't understand it, let me know later and I'll explain it to you in more detail, but it's really not a detailed program at all. We are asking everybody to commit to inviting just one person a month. And I know you can do that. Because, like I said, over the last 2 or 3 months, I've told at least 5 people a week about the Smokin' Buns restaurant. I know some of you are going there for lunch today, aren't you? Well, you better not. We've got the spaghetti lunch downstairs. One day this week, some of you are going to go there just to see how good it is. Just offer my recommendation. Well, guess what? If we can get that excited about a restaurant, we can get that excited about our church and just tell one person a month. That's so easy. That is so easy. And all you simply do is invite them, and then after you invite them, you fill out this card. And this card simply wants to know your name, the date, the name, address, and phone number of the person that you invited, and down at the bottom, any additional comments about that visit. It may be, you know, they've had some tragedy in their family, they want a phone call from the pastor, and it may be that there's not any comments whatsoever. But you're simply going to fill this card out, and we're going to have these cards in the Sunday school classes, and I'm asking the teachers every week just to ask anybody if they made an invite. If so, pass that card out. Let them fill it out. Sunday school teachers, take it back up and get it to Brenda as she collects the other information for the Sunday school, and then she'll get those to me. Again, very, very, very simple. We're going to have 4 teams. We're going to have teams for week 1, week 2, week 3, and week 4 of every month. Again, very simple. And no, you don't have to invite somebody on week 3. If you run into somebody on week 1, you can invite them on week 1, and it'll still count for you on team 3. We're going to give you some cards in a minute, and I'll explain those that you get to choose which week you would like to commit to if you have a preference. We're going to keep track of the number of invites per team and per person. So again, we're going to have 4 teams, and on those teams, I don't know how many people we're going to have yet, but however many people are on there, we will keep track of the invites per team and the invites per person. And then every quarter, we will recognize the team and the person with the most invites. We're going to put it in the bulletin. We're going to announce it before the church on which team had the most. And for the person that had the most, we're always going to do something special for that person. This first quarter, what we're going to do is buy that person a Thompson Chain Reference Study Bible. And if you're a serious student of the Word of God, that is the Bible to study with. So we're going to do something really nice for you. It may be a gift card. You know, we don't know what all the rewards are going to be in the future, but we're going to make sure that people are rewarded for their time and for their effort. And then I'm going to take the cards that you give me, and I'm going to use those to follow up on people. If they ask for a follow-up from the pastor, I'll be glad to do that. If not, we'll be sending out invitations to special events that we have, different things going on, and use them as a way of reaching the people. Now, I realize that we have a lot of adults up here today and just a few of our youth, but let me tell you what I think is going to happen. And I hope we have some adults here that have a spirit of competition. Because, folks, I think our youth are going to show up the adults. And that shouldn't be. We as adults should be setting the standard for our youth. But I know our youth. How do you think the Wednesday night is growing? You think people just drove by and said, oh, I got to stop here at the church? No. They came because a family or a friend invited them. They've already got this down, and they have almost literally doubled the Wednesday night service. They have proven that it works. In fact, when we were at New Sulphur, Diane and I always told the youth, we cannot build the youth group. You can't. And they literally, we had a tremendous youth group out there because of the youth. Same thing's happening here. So adults, I hope you get a competitive spirit, and you say, we're not about to let those little stinking teenagers show us up. And I can promise you, after this encouragement, they're going to be after it. And I hope they do. I hope they get 2 or 3 times as many as the adults, and the adults said, that ain't happening. I want this to be competitive. It can be fun. And the more people we have involved, and the more of a competitive, a friendly competitive spirit that we have, we can make it real fun. We can make it very, very rewarding. And it will work. So that's it in a nutshell as far as how that program is going to work. And I encourage everybody to sign up. Folks, just one person a month is something that everybody here can do, and it will help us reach the people that we need to reach. Now, at the end of the service, we're going to be passing out some cards just like this, and we're going to be taking these back up today. It simply asks for your name and the week you prefer. And if you don't have a preference, it says, I have no preference. Put me on the team that needs some team members. That's as simple as that can get as well. But folks, it just makes sense. The more that commit to this, then the more fun it's going to be and the faster we're going to grow. I mean, if we were out picking a patch of tomatoes, I've done that for years. Guess what? We always hoped we had a big crew show up for the simple reason we could get done faster. If we have two people signed up for this, we can still build a church. Just think what would happen if we had 50. Says, yes, I'll invite one person. That's 50 people a month being invited, and you're recording their invite and giving us something to follow up with. So it's obvious to see that the more that commit to this, the faster we're going to grow. And like Brother Roy said, if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. Well, guess what? I don't know about you, but I don't want to just aim at nothing. We now have a target. The target is the 90%. Why would we focus on the 1 and 2% when it's the 90% that come from a personal invite from a friend or family? And if you stop and think about it, we can do all of the other things. And we have been doing a lot of the other things, and we're going to keep doing a lot of the other things. But if we do all of those, but we don't invite people, we're still not going to grow. So I hope you can see how vital that this is. And this has been proven. Brother Roy was telling me he used this very exact program in two churches, and he built both of those churches. And for those of you that were here, the one church, and I think it was Woodbine, said they went from around 40 to 2 years later running over 300. They did their work, didn't they? And for those of you that were here, remember the diagram that Brother Roy had? All the way around from God to God's Word to the church to the mission to the vision. We saw this quite a bit, didn't we? To the goal, to the planning, to the, or the vision, and then the planning. And then the very last thing over here in this corner was work. It takes work to build a church. But again, if we do it the way we're talking about doing it, we can do this. It's to build anything takes massive, consistent effort. But if we do it like we're talking about, folks, we're going to have massive, consistent effort, but it's going to be spread out over the whole congregation, and it's not going to be overwhelming to any one person or any one group. And with God's help, we can do this. I've always been convinced, I'll share this with you. If I wasn't convinced to this day that God had big plans for Centerpoint and that we can grow, I wouldn't have wasted 8 years here. I have been convinced of that from the day that I got here. You already know how progressive I am and how much energy I have. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't have been here for 8 years. That's my pledge to you, that my zeal and my vision has not diminished one bit. And I know that we can do this. And like I said earlier, I know there's some other things that we need to do. Our church growth team is actively working on those, and I'm hoping and anticipating in November to present a plan to the church on what we've been talking about for 8 to 10 months and showing you exactly what we think we need to do. And, of course, we're going to present that to the church and get your thoughts on it. But I know there are other things that we need to work on. But again, folks, if we do all those other things and we don't invite the people, nothing's going to change. Georgette, if you would, come on up. I've asked Georgette to sing a special for us this morning. As she comes, I want you to listen to something that Charles Spurgeon said. And I'm sure you've heard of Charles Spurgeon. But folks, he said something that's so powerful, I'm going to read this twice just to make sure that we get it. He said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Boy, this guy had a passion for lost people, didn't he? I want to read that again. If sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go there unwarned and unprayed for. That, folks, is a very powerful statement. Amen. I'm going to ask Josh and Christian, if they would, to come up here just a moment. I meant to get with them earlier and forgot. But this isn't going to be anything. I don't know about you guys, but I like simple. If you would just make sure that everybody gets one of those. They're passing out the commitment cards. And I'm asking you to commit. You know, one thing that's lacking in our country nowadays is commitment. People don't commit to jobs, they don't commit to marriages, they don't commit to their families, they don't commit to the church. Well, if you remember the people that signed the Declaration, they committed. They put their name down on that document and said, this is worth me taking a risk and me putting my name down. I'm asking you to commit just to ask, inviting one person a month. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask Christian and Josh also to stand at the two back doors and to collect those as you go out. And then they will get those to me. So let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Georgette to sing. Father, we come before you. And I thank you so much for sending Brother Rory to us at the time that you did, Father. It's paramount that he came when he did. I am totally convinced that it was a God mandate that he come when he did, because we are poised so ready for a message like he shared with us. And Father, I know that it is your will and it's your desire for the Center Point Church to grow. And God, I just pray that you would help us to make a strong, firm commitment that we will not only invite one person a month, but we'll be so excited about our church and about what's going on that we'll spend time praying, and we'll pray for lost souls, and we'll pray for our pastor, and we'll pray for our deacons and our Sunday school teachers, and we'll spend time praying for the lay people in our church, and we'll be strong in unity, and that we'll strive and do everything we can to make this the best church that we can possibly make it, to your glory and to your honor. And Lord, I thank you for these great people, and I thank you for this church that you put here. It's been here a rock solid 98 years. And God, I know that that's just the beginning, that you have great things planned for us. But it's going to take work. I know when Brother Jim Moore came and he rode the mule down here from Quitman, Father, that wasn't easy. And building a church is not going to be easy. But if we all work together, I know that we can do it to your glory and to your honor. And Father, we already give you praise for what you're going to do. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.